Father in heaven, as we pause right now, we pause to give you praise. Thank you for these praise songs this morning. Father, thank you for the worshipfulness of each of these. And Father, I pray that you would help us now as we look at this passage of Scripture. I pray, oh God, that today we can take something away, Father, that would warm our hearts and encourage us, challenge us in the days ahead, Father, to forget that which is behind and press forward to that which lies ahead. Father, thank you for every person that is here in this sanctuary and for all of those that are listening by live stream this morning. Pray your richest blessings upon each family, each life. And Father, I pray that you would not only be with us this day, but in the days that lie ahead. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. There in your bulletin, you'll find 3 points that I want to give you. Let me give you all 3 of those before we start. But number one, I'll be speaking on Jesus is still the only answer to your questions. Jesus is still the only answer to your questions. Secondly, Jesus is still the only way to be saved. Jesus is still the only way to be saved. And thirdly, Jesus is still the only hope of knowing God. This morning, as we come to John chapter 14, we looked at the first 3 or 4 verses of that last Sunday morning, but I want to follow along this morning in the same context of last week. Jesus is what I need, and Jesus is really, truly, genuinely all that I need. For those of you that have in times past read the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy and Charlie Brown are together. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. And Charlie says, but I thought, Lucy, you had inner peace. And Lucy replied and says, I do, Charlie Brown. I have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness. Isn't that kind of the way life is? Life is filled with many obnoxious moments. A lot of times in life, our peace is simply based upon an assumption. But when the reality of our situation sets in, then we really realize that we need something so much more. And as a child of God, we know that that inner peace is found in no one and in no other than the Lord Himself. When our mind is set on Jesus, it produces within us an inside peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of our circumstances in life. Real peace begins the moment that you and I receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. No wonder Jesus would always say, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. A lot of people all over this world this morning are looking, they're searching for something to calm their troubled spirits. Many lives this morning are filled with anxiousness, people that are filled with turmoil, and there is this belief that has been passed down through the years. It's a belief that leads sinners away from God, and it leads some Christians down the wrong path. It even turns some people from biblical truths that they need to believe, and it also sends many lost souls to hell. And that belief is this: believe whatever you want, live any way you want, just as long as you're sincere with what you do. You can believe in God or you can believe in another way to heaven. It really doesn't matter. All God wants you to do is be sincere in whatever you believe. Folks, I want you to know there's no greater lie on the face of the earth than that. And that would be what we would call easy believism. I want you to know this morning, it does matter what you believe. It does matter in whom you believe. It does matter this morning about the truth that you accept and the truth that you believe. And I can assure you that if you know Jesus Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in our text for this morning, in chapter 14 of the book of John, verses 4 through 11, we read these words. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Notice how Jesus responds. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. He goes on and says, Philip said to Jesus, notice, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? And then, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. And then notice what he says there in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Let me tell you, Jesus knew the hearts of those disciples. Jesus, he could wade through all of their issues. He could look through all of their circumstances. He could see beyond their anxiousness. He could see beyond their fears. He could see beyond their anxieties. He could see beyond their situations. He could see beyond their questions. He knew the heart. And as he knew the heart, he knew that they were troubled. He knew that they were discouraged. And he's teaching them that it really does matter what they believe, and it really does matter in whom they believe. Now, in their human flesh, those disciples were probably thinking about Jesus' departure as something that was going to be permanent from the one that they had walked with, talked with, loved, had been with him to perform miracles for the past 3 years. And while his departure would mean a temporary end to his physical presence, it was a means of establishing a much deeper and intimate relationship. Think about this. Jesus could have continued with them in his physical presence, but then they would have continued in their sins. I mean, he could never have taken away their sins and cleansed their sins from his blood had he not gone to the cross to be the sacrifice for their sins. And that's what the Old Testament prophets had predicted, that he could never take them home to be with him in the Father's house, because they wouldn't be fit for heaven if Jesus didn't go to the cross and shed his blood. And when Jesus spoke to these disciples on this evening before he would go to the cross, and as he spoke to them about his departure, it was unpleasant. It was painful for them, but it was necessary for leaving them and to help them prepare for the days that would lie ahead. His departure brought about the possibility of a greater and a more permanent union and communion with him, because he was going to send the Holy Spirit from heaven to live within the believer's heart. And what was so incredibly painful for them at the moment was it was only temporary. Now, a takeaway for you and me this morning is this: God oftentimes brings a temporary pain into our lives to produce enjoyable and enriching pleasures. When you think about forgetting what is behind, stretching, reaching forth to what lies ahead. Let me tell you, for some reason, we have decided that we live in a world that we're always going to live in. We fail somewhere along the way to remember that the best lies ahead. Let me tell you, the best is in the future days ahead, and the best will be one of these days in the presence of the Lord Jesus. When you think about a child, a mother that's carrying a baby for 9 months, and she keeps it protected there in her womb, and eventually through a painful process, that baby will be brought into the world, and yet the pain that the mother goes through produces the greater pleasure of a far more intimate and lasting and eternal relationship as a parent and a child. And if you and I are going to deal with all of the issues and the problems in this life, we have to understand that there's a life that is coming that's far better and far greater. You see, what lies ahead for the believer is having a relationship and a fellowship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you, God doesn't want you and me to live in this crazy mixed up world that we live in without having an inner peace. And that inner peace can only come by knowing Christ in a personal, intimate way. First of all, this morning, Jesus is still the only answer to your questions. I hear people say all the time, "Pastor, I know I'm not supposed to question." And I want to say, oftentimes I don't. Sometimes I want to say, "Oh, really? Are you human? Have you pinched yourself lately? Do you realize that the psalmist said, he knows my frame. He knows that I'm dust. He knows how frail I truly am." And a lot of people will say, "Well, Pastor, I know I'm not supposed to have questions." Well, I'll tell you, you can sign in under me if you want. I'll sign the top of the line. I have lots of questions. Lots of questions that I don't have the answers. But I know the answer is in Jesus. He is the answer. You and I may never get all of our questions answered down here. In fact, let me tell you, as this world moves on and on, it's a crazy mixed up world. I read this past week that the Bible reading has dropped to an unprecedented low in America. That Bible reading has dropped to an unprecedented low in America. And then I read another article that said a society that's terrible at moral formation. But when I read you that easy believism truth a few moments ago that is a mistruth, it does matter who you believe in. It does matter what you believe in this world. Let me tell you, do you have questions? Do you have doubts? Don't you think God's big enough? Don't you think his shoulders are strong enough for the questions that we have when we don't have answers? Let me tell you, no matter what kind of Christian we may think we are, let me tell you, we don't always have our act together. And I'm confident of the fact this morning, if we went around the room and polled each other, I'm sure we would all feel that we don't have our act together. One of the disciples, on this evening, before Jesus would go to the cross, Jesus is going to have the Lord's Supper with him. He's going to institute that. He initiates the Lord's Supper. He's going to wash their feet. And one of these disciples is going to ask him a question. In fact, he's going to question Jesus. You see, if it was okay for Thomas to ask Jesus a question, I'm pretty confident it's okay for you and I to ask him questions that beg for answers. Listen to what Thomas asked Jesus. "We don't know where you're going, Lord." Thomas wasn't sure what Jesus was even speaking about. He didn't get it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of times in life you and I don't get it either if we are truly honest. Notice when Jesus responded to Thomas's question, Jesus didn't scold Thomas. Boy, I'm grateful for that, aren't you? Whenever you question, he doesn't rebuke Thomas. Jesus just answered a legitimate question that needed a legitimate answer. He answers Thomas' question by looking at each of those disciples and he says, you know the way, you have the assurance of where I'm going. And while Jesus said that, they stood there looking puzzled like a deer in the headlights. They're confused. They don't understand it. They don't get it. And Jesus had told them back in verse 4, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus explained to them that he would take them eventually to live in the Father's house and that he was their only hope for the future. And yet those disciples didn't seem to get it. Aren't you and I like that so oftentimes? We read the Bible, we listen to the Holy Spirit, we know the way, and yet we sometimes don't know the way. Let me ask you a question. Are you walking through a dark maze this morning? I found out that life is filled with dark mazes. Life is filled with those moments that really can become teachable moments in our lives if we allow God to use them for our betterment and for the days to come. Those disciples didn't get it. I mean, one of them has already left. He has betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus had called him to walk along beside him to help him in ministry. And that disciple was not saved. That disciple never got saved. Judas Iscariot. The other 11 disciples, they had no idea that Judas was a traitor. They had no idea that Judas wasn't saved. Let me tell you, they looked on the outward appearance. The Bible says in the book of Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. God sees your heart this morning. I was in Oklahoma City at a hospital one day when one of the great heart surgeons there was fixing to perform heart surgery on one of my members. And in the course of conversation with he and I, he made a comment to me. He said, I open up chest every day. I see hearts of people. And I thought about Jesus is the great cardiognosis. He is not only a cardiac surgeon, this person, but let me tell you, Jesus is the great cardiac surgeon. Jesus knows how to cut away at the heart. Jesus knows how to pull back the curtains in our lives. Jesus knows the real us. He sees who we are. He knows exactly what we're thinking every single moment of every day. And one of the things Jesus wanted to get across to these disciples, guys, you better get it right about being saved. Jesus said, Thomas said, well, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? I don't know, when I read that statement, I sense that in Thomas's spirit, he's somewhat upset. He's somewhat aggravated, frustrated. How many times have you and I been frustrated at God in our lives because he didn't do it our way? He didn't do what we want. He didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered. I can only imagine as they're sitting there, oh, Peter is going to deny him. He's walked with Jesus too for 3 years. He's talked with him. He watched him perform miracles. Lord, we'll go to the cross with you. And Jesus looked at him and I can just imagine that scene. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, before the rooster crows 3 times, you will deny me. There in the presence of 12 apostles, one betrays him, not even saved. One will deny that he's ever been with Jesus for the incredible fear that's in his life. Let me tell you, whenever you and I get alone with God and we have a real conversation with God, it's a two-way experience. You speak to God and let God speak to you. Sometimes God speaks in a still small voice. Sometimes God speaks through a song that someone hears. God speaks through His Word in that still small voice. Sometimes God will speak through our circumstances of our lives. Sometimes God will speak through one of His children to give you advice and wisdom, to give you encouragement. Another life takeaway for you and me today is when God speaks, it will always line up with His Word because it will never contradict the character of who God is. Here's a fair warning. God does speak to His children, but there will be times that we don't understand. And those disciples didn't understand either. Lord, we can't even imagine. You're going away? You're going away? I mean, we've left our boats. We've left our families. We have forsook all to follow You. Lord, You're going away. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, Lord? You say You're going away and we're supposed to know the way. How do we know the way, Lord? How do we know where You're going? Let me tell you, Jesus was trying to get them to understand. He wouldn't be in physical presence with them as He had been, but He was not going to leave them without peace in their heart. And it would come when the Holy Spirit would come and Jesus had gone back to heaven. So Jesus is still the only answer to your questions today. You may question. You may get that answer. You may never have that answer. But let me tell you, it certainly does not mean that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't care. He just has a reason when He does not answer. Secondly, this morning, Jesus is still the only way to get saved. There are a lot of people out there in the world. The world is now filled with all kinds of cults and isms. There are all kinds of people that will tell you can get to heaven in many different ways. Let me tell you, not if you believe the Bible. But since you and I are living in what is called a post-Christian era of time in America, let me tell you, a lot of people have just thrown the Bible out by the wayside. They just say, believe whatever you want to believe. I read the other day where the Chinese are rewriting the Bible. They're rewriting the Bible. When the woman was taken in adultery at the well, and where Jesus said, told those that had come against her, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. I understand the Chinese, in an article I read, they're going to rewrite that, and that Jesus picked up the first stone to stone her. Well, I read the other day where AI is going to write a Bible, artificial intelligence. Folks, let me tell you, the Bible that I hold in my hand today, I believe is the authoritative, I believe it is the absolute Word of Almighty God given to us by the Holy Spirit, through men that the Holy Spirit breathed upon. And let me tell you, when Jesus said to those disciples, He wanted them to get it. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus was saying, you better get your salvation right. Jesus said, I am the way. When Thomas questioned, Lord, we don't know where You're going. How could we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. Let me tell you, Oprah's not the way. And many of those people that a lot of people listen to on TV, you better check them out. If it doesn't square up with what the Bible says, I'd walk away from that type of stuff. Jesus was saying to these disciples, guys, get your salvation right. Somebody said to me not long ago, Pastor, I like what you say when you say, be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's all that truly matters in life. Let me tell you, when you and I get to heaven one of these days, this world would love to tell you religion will take you there. It won't. A lot of people would love to tell you righteous works will get you there. It won't. A lot of people will say, just use reasoning. That won't get you to heaven. A lot of people say, just use rituals. Be ritualistic. That won't get you to heaven. I tell you what, Jesus is the only hope And he's the only way to get to heaven. He is the way that takes us to heaven. He's the truth that teaches you and me about heaven. And he is the life that transforms us for heaven. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Look at 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In our text, Jesus makes, I believe, the greatest statement that he ever made concerning himself to this group of disciples whose hearts were torn apart. And Jesus was pointing them to himself. He is our mediator. He's the mediator between man and God. Jesus is the mediator. He's not the arbitrator. There was no common ground for settling a dispute between Almighty God and sinful man. You see, there are no loopholes, there are no gimmicks, no works to earn salvation, no amount of money can buy you into heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son," that's Jesus, "has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." 1 John 5, 12 and 13 says, "He who has the Son has life." Do you have life this morning? "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Look at verse 13. Notice, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Let me tell you this morning, Rebecca and Devin and Braylon, they have the Son. They have everlasting life because they trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. There's a third thing. When Jesus said, in other words, in that second point, I'm just putting this in everyday vernacular, like you and I would talk. I think Jesus was saying, "Boys, be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am life. I am life. I am life." Third and lastly, Jesus is still the only hope to knowing God. Jesus is the only hope to knowing God. You and I should want to know him definitely. The more we know about him, the more joy we will have in our lives each day. The more you and I know about God, to know that God is with us, that God will help us, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way forever, he is faithful. God is going to keep his promises and will bring things to pass. This world, I believe, is in a huge mess. It's unsettled. It's struggling. The storm clouds are brewing and rising on the horizon. Some people are struggling to say, "I just need to find who I am. I'm just in a maze, Pastor. I'm just in a tunnel. I can't see the light of day." Well, folks, let me tell you, Pastor some days has those same days, has those same things that he feels as well. Let me tell you, the most important thing in all of life, when you step into the pearly gates, it isn't going to be how many degrees did you work off. It's not going to be how many accolades of praise you were given in life. It will not matter about all your news reports that are out there. I learned a long time ago, don't believe your news reports. Some people are hung up on all that stuff. I learned a long time ago that the only thing in life that truly counts, Do you know Jesus? Do you know him in a personal way? I want to close with this story. It's a heart-wrenching story. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a true story. Happened in Chicago, Illinois. There was a brilliant surgeon by the name of Leo Winters. The hospital called him at 1 a.m. and said, there's a young man that's been in a tragic accident. It will take your skills if his life is saved. The surgeon later penned the words and he said, I put on my clothes, I jumped in my car, and I decided to take the quickest route to the hospital. But in order to do that, I'd have to drive through a very dangerous neighborhood. But since time was critical, time was of the essence, he said, I decided to go ahead and take the risk that night. I came to a stoplight, a man in a gray hat and a dirty flannel shirt. He opened the door and pulled me out and said, give me your car. I began to try, the doctor said, to explain to him that I was a surgeon. I was on my way to a medical call. But the man refused to listen and he sped away in the man's car. The surgeon said, I walked the streets for 45 minutes. I tried to find a phone booth and to call a taxi. And when I finally got one and it came and picked me up and the taxi driver had pulled me into the emergency room of the hospital. He said, I walked in, I ran upstairs to the nurse's station, and the nurse looked at me, and she shook her head, and she said, Doctor, I'm sorry, but you're too late. The young man died 30 minutes ago, and the father, he's down there in the chapel if you want to see him. He's very, extremely upset because he couldn't understand why you had to come quicker. The doctor walked down the hallway. He walked into the chapel. He saw a man who was weeping profusely there in the chapel. He looked at the man. The man was dressed in a dirty flannel shirt and a gray hat. His eyes were so filled with water streaming from them. And he looked at the surgeon in horror and realized it was his car that he stole to get to the hospital. He would listen to the surgeon there at the red light that day. And because of that, his son passed into eternity. I share that story to only say this. There's only one person that you better listen to. There's only one person that can save your soul. And when you leave life, you're going to enter into eternity. You're either going to go to heaven or you are going to go to a place that Jesus talked about called hell. Jesus spoke more of hell than he ever did about heaven. Let me tell you, this past week I read that in America, in one of the latest polls that was taken, more people, Christian people even, more believe in angels than they do in hell. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, here's how you go. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. Do you know the way this morning? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? Let me tell you, there's a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I don't understand. But I learned many years ago in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when I was a kid and learned that verse, and it still stuck with me as my very favorite verse in all the Bible. Trust in the Lord. It's easy to put your trust in people. They'll disappoint you every time. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not parts of your heart, all of it. Lean not to your own understanding. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things you're not going to understand. You'll never understand this side of heaven. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Dan Pruitt treated me like his own son. And many years ago, when I became his minister of music, minister to senior adults, the one thing he said to me one day that I've never, ever forgotten, he said, "Son, I want to tell you something." He said, "You get out there in life, plow you a row as straight as you can plow it. Don't look over there to see what the next preacher's doing, what he's involved in." He said, "You plow your row as straight as you can plow it. And don't look to the left and don't look to the right. God will bless your life and God will honor your life. And then someday, when you step into the pearly gates, you'll hear him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' You've been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'll make you ruler over many things." Lots of us get stuck in life. We get stuck. We get angry. We become bitter. Instead of becoming better, we become bitter. "Lord, I don't know where you're going. How on earth do you think I know the way?" I am the way. I am the way, Thomas. I'm the truth, Thomas. I'm the life eternal, Thomas. Do you know him this morning? Would you stand as we pray together?
Father God, we have been the newsboy this morning and we've thrown the news. That's all we can do. This is your invitation, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall on the hearts and lives of people all over this world this morning as you're going throughout the earth, knocking on hearts' doors. Some will open the door to you. Some will close that door, slam it shut, and become calloused, bitter, hard-hearted. But, oh God, you said, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh God, help us to not get so caught up into a earthly world that we live in that we fail to remember that we're on our way to the land of the living, and our citizenship is not in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven, and the best is yet to be. Oh God, may we, like Paul, reach forward for the things that are out there that are eternal, that are heavenly. Father, if there's someone that needs to trust you today, may they come and give their heart and life to you. There are those that just need to come down and pray at the altar for whatever the need is. May they come. If there's someone that needs a church home, speak to their heart. I pray that they would let this be their church family. Father, we've done all we can do, and this is your invitation. So, Holy Spirit, according to your plan, your purpose, move, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.